Welcome to the Real Presence, Real Future podcast, a podcast dedicated to increasing the presence of Christ throughout the Diocese of Columbus. I'm Father Mike Archie. I'm here again with Father Bob. I was going to say Father Bob, but hell, everyone knows you as Father Bob.
Father Bob, yeah.
One of our regional Episcopal vicars and pastor of St. Brendan Church. Father, thanks again for being with me.
My pleasure. Always good to be here.
Can you start us off with our prayer for mission renewal?
Absolutely. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God our Father, we entrust Real Presence, Real Future to your providence. Through your Holy Spirit, inspire us for mission and evangelization. Make us disciples after the heart of your Son. In times of uncertainty, grant firm resolve. When we are unsettled, provide peace. When we are timid, make us courageous. With our ears, may we hear your promptings. With our eyes, may we see your handiwork. With our mouths, may we share the gospel, and with our hands, may we serve you. Replace our hesitation with holy enthusiasm, so that in drawing strength from the Eucharist, every endeavor of ours may be for your glory. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thanks, Father.
Welcome.
So we have been reading a lot of the feedback. Mm-hmm. And as we record this, we're a few days away from June 30th, from
right.
the end of the survey. And we've gotten up to this point just over 7,100 responses.
Wonderful.
And that's incredible.
Yeah.
And I'm very happy with that. I know we all are. It's the kind of response that we needed and that we wanted in this round two, and that we really thought we would get from being
right.
pretty provocative in
yep.
those second round draft models, and not just kind of recklessly so, but just with really good intentions, just kind of sharing with people as transparently as possible. Here's the stuff we've been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the stuff we see as some possibilities. Now, tell us what's challenging. Tell us what's strong about this. Tell us what some alternatives are. So I wanted to take some of these podcasts with you and the other vicars in these couple weeks now, just kind of like read some people's comments,
right.
see what they're saying. And I kind of wanted to start with 2 North, and then next time we can talk about 2 Central. So 2 North, those groups of the northwest part, 2 Central, kind of the more near north, like High Street parts of the
right.
parts of the diocese, but in your sort of regional area. So this person is actually from St. Brendan's Church, this comment says. So this is an answer to that question, what's strongest about this model? St. Brendan parishioner. So the model for St. Brendan's is a collaboration between St. Brendan's and St. Margaret's, or
yeah.
Margaret of Cortona. This person says, I think it provides a couple of places, St. Brendan, St. Margaret, St. Bridget, St. Joseph, St. John Newman, Church of the Ascension. All those are kind of a collaboration
mm-hmm.
Model. I think it provides a couple of places where a parochial vicar could be made a quote-unquote fake pastor of the smaller church paired with the bigger church. This would provide very good experience of being a pastor while still having a safety net of a more experienced pastor right there to give advice, etc. I also think this model allows for some good pooling of resources between parishes. That's a lot of what we talked about. How
it
do you
is.
What comes to mind for you when you hear a comment like that from a parishioner in this area?
Well, first of all, it's a parishioner for St. Brendan, so I'm glad somebody in my parish is responding. That's awesome. But also, it's great to see that people are starting to understand what we're trying to do. We have a lot of young priests who are wonderful, very committed, but without a lot of experience in terms of parish life, and it takes time to build that experience. So I wouldn't describe them as a kind of fake pastor. The canonical pastor would be the pastor of both parishes.
Right.
But the parochial vicar would certainly be envisaged as somebody who would take administrative responsibility for the smaller parish, but under the oversight of the pastor. And that advantage is it allows guys to develop their strengths, to discover their weaknesses, but also to be mentored at the same time. So we're not throwing guys into parishes with just 2 years or 3 years of experience as priests. We're able to give them more than one parish experience before they become a pastor. And as a result of doing all of that, we're actually preparing them to be good pastors to the people of God.
And we want them to have, like you said, more than even a couple years of experience, and some yeah. of these guys might move around as parochial vicars. I mean, that's what happened a lot in the past. Yeah. And now just out of sheer need, Father, out of sheer need, we're making guys pastors.
Right.
After 2 or 3 years of ordination.
Yeah, I know I certainly was, you know, I was ordained 3 years in the UK before I came over to the States. So I was a parochial vicar there in a big parish. And then I moved here and I was at St. Peter's in Columbus. Mm-hmm. And then I was at St. Brendan's. And then finally, after 7 years of being a priest, I became pastor at St. Francis de Sales in Newark. And just having that time and that experience and variety of different parishes really helped to prepare me. So I think this Model C is a really good model for training up younger priests mm-hmm. and giving them the exposure and experience they need. It also leverages the gifts and the talents and just the momentum that a bigger parish can have to support a smaller parish. So we're not looking at absorbing, say, a St. Margaret of Cortona's mm. into St. Brendan's and making it a mini St. Brendan's. Mm. We want to preserve everything that is unique and beautiful at St. Margaret's. But for this time, when we are short on priests who can become pastors immediately, it gives us the opportunity to mentor that priest and also to work with that parish to help them build up evangelization, outreach, and all those things that are going to need to happen to get people to come back to Mass.
Yep, good. So moving on to what's challenging about this. So this is the mm-hmm. St. Bridget parishioner saying, I think change is challenging in general.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
In my experience, people get very emotional and nervous when changes occur, whether good or bad, necessary or unnecessary. So I think getting parishioners used to the idea of change in general will be the most challenging aspect about each of these right. models. We're seeing that right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
People just don't like it. No matter if it's a good idea or a bad idea, it pulls me out of my routine. It pulls me out mm-hmm. of my comfort zone. We saw a lot of that in March mm-hmm. in our March yeah. meetings with our key parish leaders, just like this idea that things cannot stay the same. But that really also speaks too to the, I don't know, kind of the depths of our identity as Christians, that we do have to continue to change, to like adapt ourselves to certain circumstances. And I guess like change more importantly in that sense of like, if I'm not growing in holiness,
right.
I'm standing still. I'm certainly not changing for the better. So all right. that change is hopefully is more that Christ-like development.
I think there's a phrase I heard years ago, which was to grow is to change and to change is to grow. And the reality of the Christian life is that if we have become so set in our ways, priests as well as people, priests, deacons, clergy, even bishops, can become very set in a model that they are comfortable with. But the reality of the Christian life is that we are called to evangelization, and evangelization is not comfortable. Saint Irenaeus, who we celebrate today, his memorial, did not have a comfortable life. I mean, from an early childhood, he was incredibly bright. He grew up and he became ultimately the Bishop of Lyons, but he suffered for his faith while proclaiming that faith in a time of great turbulence and change. The same is true for us. We are not living in the kind of 1950s, 60s world where, yes, there was change with the Second Vatican Council, but there was also a sense of this is how we live the church in community. And we need to recognize that this is a time of change and all of us are going to have to step outside our comfort zones.
All these parishes in this 2 North, or most of them, are very, very big.
Yeah.
Very big suburban parishes. This comment in answer to how can this model better support evangelization and outreach is from a St. Joan of Arc parishioner, and they just said Alpha was a good example years ago for people to get involved in smaller groups and meet other parishioners. That was a way of getting involved when we moved mm-hmm. here. So a St. Joan of Arc parishioner in a large parish, probably the second or third largest parish in our diocese, mm-hmm. commenting on Alpha, these programs being where people kind of come together in small groups, can large suburban almost mega parishes have that family feel?
Yeah, absolutely. I certainly feel that St. Brendan's has that family feel and that vibrancy, which comes from being able to meet together in smaller groups, but also able to meet in bigger groups. So Walking with Purpose would be an example of that. Walking with Purpose, we have over 150 women who take part in that at St. Brendan's regularly in morning sessions and evening sessions. But they come together in their tables, so they create this small, intimate group. That Man Is You is the same. And by doing that, they're able to share at a personal level. And also, if a parish is engaged in mission and renewal, they're going to have either Alpha or Christ Life or hopefully the Rescue Project. I'm very excited for that coming to mm-hmm. the diocese. We're looking to start that in the fall at St. Brendan's. And again, these are ways in which in big parishes you can break down the contact between people so they get to know each other better and have that type of relationship.
And that's good, Father, because it does it on a very real in a very real and impactful way for them, and not just like some superficial thing where, oh, it feels like a family parish just because I see the same people every right. week or at a daily mass or something. But now I'm really getting to know people, and I'm getting to share my faith with them.
Yeah.
I'm getting to hear and understand their experience, how they're growing in Christ, how that's going to help me to do the same. And so I think that would really have a far greater impact on the spiritual life of our whole diocese and on the spiritual life of these parishes to acknowledge that and do it that way, to really kind of get down and take off that veneer and get down to the
right
to the good work of forming disciples.
I had a parishioner come to see me last week who's fairly new to the parish, elderly, very active throughout his entire life, worked hard, worked long hours, is now retired, and just knows in his heart that he wants to talk more about his faith, but he's shy about it. And there's so many, that's true of so many people. But he came to see me to say, how can I go about talking about my faith? How can I share that? And so I referred him to That Man Is You, because again, here's a small group network system that can actually help us to help people connect and talk about their faith. They may be nervous to begin with, but as time goes on and they form relationships, it becomes easier and they become better at it.
Let's end it there. I love that. And no matter what age we are, we can always desire to grow
Amen.
More and to share our faith better. Thanks for your time, Father.
You're welcome. Good to be here.